Hey, 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 good morning, everyone. We're now in week 13 of our series, Free Indeed. We're in the process of learning how to walk free of the sins that have entangled us for too long, and that has kept us from embracing the incredible life which Jesus died to give us. Jesus brought us freedom. He died and rose again so that we could and would be free from the bondage of sin and death. However, many of us have believed lies of the enemy. Lies telling us that if we would obey and agree with him instead of God's word, that true freedom will be found. If you do it my way, says the devil, I'll give you what you want. Protection, provision, and even prosperity. But God says you're in danger when you listen and make any agreements with the enemy. His way leads back to enslavement and ultimately death. Because that's where all sin leads. My way is life, God tells us. Choose death or choose life. The decision is yours. To encourage you to choose truth is the ultimate purpose of this series. I'm urging the saints of God by choosing truth to choose life, to choose to walk in life, and to choose eternal life beginning now. But ultimately, the decision is yours and mine, truth or lies. Which one will we choose to obey? Well, today I'm going to talk about a couple of sins that have enslaved many and through which we all have participated at one time or another. Many folks believe that what we're going to talk about is no big deal. But it's a huge deal if you're a slave to it. I'm going to be addressing the topics of jealousy and envy. If either of these things rule you, then you need freedom. By ruling, I mean even if you know it's wrong to be envious or jealous towards somebody, yet still do it, then you're being ruled. You're agreeing with lies of the enemy. And by the way, this is true for all sins. So making a distinction between jealousy and envy is not easy. They overlap and are often used interchangeably. But understanding the difference between the two is essential. Knowing how the two words differ in actual meaning can help us understand our relationship with God more deeply. For instance, what does it mean when God tells us that he is jealous for us? Well, you'll find out in just a couple minutes. For now, let's define the two words. The Bible is filled with the use of both terms, jealousy and envy, and God has a lot to say about both. The main difference between envy and jealousy is that envy is the emotion of coveting what someone else has, while jealousy is the emotion related to fear that something you have will be taken away by someone else. I'll say that again. Envy is the emotion of coveting what someone else has, while jealousy is the emotion related to fear that something you have will be taken away by someone else. I realize we use both of these words interchangeably all the time, but there is a difference, and it's important to know what that difference is. Let me illustrate what this looks like using a very common example. Let's suppose that there are two toddlers in a room and only one ball. Well, we've got trouble, don't we? Toddler A picks up the ball and begins to bounce it, having a lot of fun. Toddler B decides that he wants to have fun too, and to have fun, he needs that ball. So he lunges for it and attempts to take it away. Toddler A, using a defensive move, dodges his lunge, but now moves to the other side of the room so he would not be disturbed. You see, he's playing with it, and nobody else can have it. Toddler B, pitching a fit because he wants that ball, it's emotionally disturbing to him. So he then hits Toddler A. As Toddler A drops the ball, Toddler B picks it up gleefully, both because he got the ball and because Toddler A no longer has it. Now let's assign jealousy and envy to our two characters. Toddler A exhibited characteristics of jealousy when he attempted to keep his ball and not share it. This jealousy was actually not bad, though a bit selfish. Toddler B exhibited envy. He wanted the ball, and he also didn't want Toddler A to enjoy it. So he struck Toddler A and took the ball. This was envy with a little bit of jealousy thrown in. Jealousy and envy are often dance partners. But where the two differ theologically is that jealousy is not always bad. There is good and bad jealousy. However, envy is always considered a bad thing in the Bible. Let's look at good jealousy for a couple of minutes. In Exodus 34, verse 14, it reads, "For you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Did you get that? The God whose name is mercy, faithful, healer, creator, provider, those are some of his names found throughout the Bible, is also called jealous. In Hebrew, the word is kanal. Literally, it refers to the reddening of the face, implying that there is anger mixed with it. And there is. There is anger mixed with the emotion of jealousy. But God's anger is always righteous. And thus, his jealousy is always the right kind of jealous. Why is he jealous? Remember our definition that jealousy wants to guard what one possesses and to keep others from having it. Well, God is jealous for us. We are his possession. He purchased us with the blood of Jesus. And yes, he is protective of us, knowing full well the intention of the enemy to steal our affections away from him, to be led astray by lies that lead to destruction. There is righteous anger that stirs within God when we make agreements with the enemy and begin listening to Satan's lies instead of God's truth. That's a good jealousy. Like when I'm jealous for my wife's or my son's affection. There is love wrapped up in that emotion. I love them. So what is the bad kind of jealousy? Well, it's the kind that has no love in it. It's the kind that cannot rejoice with another person when they accomplish or obtain something good. It is selfish in its attitude. It partners with a spirit of fear, sometimes lust, and even contempt towards another. The Bible's many warnings about jealousy pertain to the wrong kind. James 3:16 reads, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice." It's a vile practice, and it's equated with selfish ambition. Means I want something else for my own personal gain. Galatians 5:19 through 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Did you catch that? Jealousy. Jealousy is equated with some of these horrible sins. And it will prevent us from inheriting the kingdom of God. That's pretty scary to think about. But what else? Really, what is the big deal about jealousy? Well, the big deal is that bad jealousy is a sin, and it can lead to other sins. As you see from this verse in Galatians, it's in the same category as idolatry and witchcraft, drunkenness and hatred. Jealousy is an act of the flesh and that part of us that is in rebellion against God and His righteousness. If allowed to remain unchecked, it will poison our contentment with what God has provided. In doing so, we begin to look at what we don't have instead of what we do have. Jealousy is also a sad emotion because it can't be happy for another person. It's an emotion belonging to an unloving spirit that can't hope for the best or even desire the best for another. You just won the lottery? Gee, I'm so happy for you. How pathetic is that? You just got a new car? It must be nice having all that money. Ah, jealousy is so petty and selfish, isn't it? Why does she have the good job and I'm down here stacking peanuts in the smelly basement. Well, there's a couple things wrong with this. If you're stacking peanuts in a smelly basement, you probably need a new good job. But the real wrong in this statement is there's jealousy exhibited towards another person. You just can't be happy that they got a promotion. Listen, if jealousy is not controlled, it can grow into a medical syndrome that the doctors call keeping up with the Joneses. This condition is a contributing factor to many divorces and bankruptcies. People see what their neighbors have, a new car, a swimming pool, jet ski, a bass boat, vacation house, or maybe a shiny John Deere tractor that can go up to 45 miles an hour. Ooh, 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 ooh. Who would not like one of those? But then because of jealousy, they go out and they buy one too. Only they buy it on credit with money they don't have, and this is a problem. Before long, they're sinking financially. Financial problems are the leading cause of divorce in our nation. It's really a combination of sins like lust, covetousness, idolatry, and jealousy all working together as sins often do. But the big monkey in that cage is jealousy, and it must be tamed. Well, now let's talk about envy for a few minutes. First, we need to understand that there is no envy in God. You see, envy wants what another person has, and God already owns everything. The only thing He desires from us is our hearts and obedience. Thus, He is jealous for us. In addition, He wants to give us good things. He's not envious. Just ask. If you ask for a sandwich, will He give you a scorpion? The Bible says. And then it says, no, of course not. In 1 Corinthians 13, this is referred to as the love chapter. And it reads that love is patient, love is kind, and it does not envy. Love and envy are conflicting emotions. You can't be exhibiting both at the same time. Think about this, though. Because God is love, He can't envy. They're conflicting emotions, though He can be jealous. But again, it's the good kind. So going back to our earlier definition of envy, it resents what someone else has, whether it's an item or some kind of advantage. Envy can also wish that the good thing, whatever it is, be taken away from the other person, and that simply is not love. Envy can tend to upset someone so much that they can become ill just by thinking about what the other person has and they don't. It becomes a sickness. Have you ever heard the expression green with envy? Green indicates the nauseous feeling that can accompany envy. Let's look at an example of envy at work in the Bible. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. We'll begin in verse 1. It's a very famous passage, a tragic passage, really. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near, next to my house, and for it I will give you a vineyard better than it. Or if it seems good to you, I'll give you its worth in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you." So Ahab went into his house, sullen and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. I'm reminded of temper tantrums that little kids throw when they don't get their way. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, "Why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food?" He said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.' Then Jezebel, his wife, said to him, 'You now exercise authority over Israel. Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' And she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. she wrote in the letters, saying, "Proclaim a fast, and seat Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, 'You have blasphemed God and the king.' Then take him out and stone him, that he may die." Verse 11. So the men of his city, the elders and nobles who were inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent to them. As it was written in the letters which she had sent to them, they proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth with high honor among the peoples. And two men, scoundrels, came in and sat before him. And the scoundrels witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, "Naboth has blasphemed God and the king." Then they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, "Naboth has been stoned and is dead." And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead." Verse 16. So it was, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab got up and went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Wow. What a picture of how envy works. I could envision Ahab looking out his window every morning and seeing this beautiful garden that's set adjacent to the palace. And he began to desire it. He wanted it. It was all he could think about. And then he reached out via his wife, and they took it. That is envy. You see, Ahab envied Naboth's garden. He wanted it for himself. And when he didn't get it, he began to pout like a child. Then he told his wife Jezebel the story. She in turn set Naboth up to be murdered. All for what? All for a garden. And Ahab got the garden, but at Naboth's expense. What does the Bible say about envy specifically? It never has anything good to say about envy, because it's a sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." Wow. Jealousy is equated with hypocrisy, deceit, and slander. Peter is exhorting Christians to behave in a manner that does not resemble these things. It should not even be named as part of our character. James 3, 14 through 15 has something even more insidious to say about envy. Verse 14, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic." Envy is from the pit of hell. God did not place envy in our souls and in our emotions. It's an inherited trait from the ruler of this world, Satan himself. It's one of his character traits. He envied God for the position of God in the heavenlies before he was thrown out. When we are envying something else or envying somebody, we are expressly modeling that trait that Satan had that got him expelled from heaven. It's demonic. In addition to these and many others, there is a very curious scripture that may indicate that envy can even cause disease. In Proverbs 14:30, it says that a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. In other words, you may have a healthy heart, keeping your outer physical body alive, but if you have envy, you're actually rotting from the inside out. Your bones are rotting. And therefore, what benefit is a good heart if the bones are rotting? The word envy in Hebrew comes from a word from which we get our word filthy. Envy soils our inward being. Proverbs 14:30 is also an interesting verse, because doctors have discovered in their research that extreme envy is often found in people who have developed certain bone diseases, like osteoporosis and even bone cancer. Is there a connection? It says a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. I believe so. Women in particular usually more so than men, often develop osteoporosis. It's known as a woman's disease. Women are even told to take calcium as a preventive measure to ward off such an ailment. Some ministries have demonstrated that women who have osteoporosis often find healing when they deal with envy. It's interesting. Women can be so envious of other women, and many times are very vocal about it. I could give some examples, but I really don't need to. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, women? Not all, but many can be extremely envious of other women for a variety of reasons, and they carry that envy with them their entire lives, never receiving healing from it or even realizing that is a demonic emotion and from where we inherited it. But that's not to say that men can't, because we can. We can become envious of another man's job, money, power, recognition, and even kids of other families. You know, God said, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife." He was directing that prohibition directly towards men because he knows that men can also envy like women. But in all walks of life, envy is a very strong emotion of ill will and is always ugly when it shows up. Furthermore, it can lead to bad things like covetousness or even a root of bitterness to develop. Covetousness occurs when we want and desire what someone else has. It's that simple. We think about it constantly, and this can lead to idolatry, as we discussed last week. So God warns us about the danger of coveting in the Ten Commandments. And as I pointed out again last week, it led to Adam and Eve's downfall in the garden. But perhaps more physically self-damaging is when bitterness takes root due to long-term envy. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." The word for defile means to pollute, to toxify. Just like pollution can kill fish in the sea and animals on land, pollution in our souls can kill us. When the soul becomes toxified, disease can set in. Remember that our spirit, soul, and body are all connected. What affects one affects all. Bitterness has been shown to be the cause of many diseases, including but not limited to Alzheimer's, angina, arthritis, including both simple and rheumatoid, and a whole host of others. I'm going to devote an entire Sunday to bitterness in just a few weeks. But know this for the sake of today's message, that bitterness can originate in envy. So with these things said, it should be clear that jealousy and envy are not profitable for our spiritual health, nor our physical health. We need to deal with both of them as sin before they deal a death blow to us in some manner. Now, it's not easy to get rid of envy and jealousy, especially if they've been with us our entire life. They are powerful emotions that usually run just beneath the surface of our awareness. They can be joy stealers and even life stealers. But what makes them even tougher to defeat is that there are spirits of jealousy and envy at work in our lives. They are often not merely emotions gone bad. The spirit of jealousy is mentioned by name in Numbers chapter 5. You can read that for yourself. But know that both are emissaries of Satan, sent to corrupt relationships, steal joy, and create dissatisfaction with God's provision in our lives. At first, they'll try and get us to agree with them by getting us jealous or envious towards others. But once we've opened that door, they'll take up residence in our soul and begin to poison us, as I've talked about before. So to start our freedom journey from jealousy and envy, there are some both practical and spiritual steps we must immediately begin to put into practice to gain our healing from these things. So here are four practical steps. The first is, in dealing with envy and joy, that we must become aware of their presence. We must become aware when we are becoming envious of another person or jealous of another person. The second step is to ask the Holy Spirit why it is that you're feeling jealous or envious. Why am I feeling this way towards that person? What's going on in this situation? Is there a spirit at work trying to get me to sin, to enter into an agreement with them? The third is to begin praying for blessings upon the person with whom you are jealous or envious. When we're genuinely praying for the best interest of others, it's hard to be jealous of them or even resent them. Remember that love and envy are conflicting emotions. You can't have both at the same time. It's impossible. Fourth is to thank God for what He has given you. Count your blessings. Ask Him to put His desires in your heart, as we discussed last week. God is a God of love. When He puts His desires in our heart, He puts desires that are infused with love. Love and envy are incompatible. If we're walking in love, we will not be envious or jealous of another person. It's impossible. So those are four practical spiritual steps we can take to walk in victory over jealousy and envy. But remember, too, that there can be a demonic spirit of unloving at work in your life. So you're going to need to do some spiritual warfare to remove it. That's just how it is. I'll put a prayer of warfare on the site, just under the message, and also include the R's for walking out our freedom from jealousy and envy, as they will come back and try to hit us again. Look, I beg you, do not underestimate the importance of warfare prayers and doing warfare against the enemy. They are essential in regaining your freedom, which Christ died to give you. May God bless your life, and may you be free indeed. Well, Lord, we thank You for Your Scripture. We thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for Your truth. We ask by Your Holy Spirit that You would help us to rid jealousy and envy from our character. If it's taken up residence in our soul, we speak the blood of Jesus over both jealousy and envy, and we resist it and we command it to go. We will not serve either of those spirits. We serve only the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God bless you. Be safe. Take care, and may His face shine upon you in all that you do. Bye-bye.